On Scenic Roots, this is Talking Writing. Our guest is singer and songwriter Jason Lyles. He has a new album called Chameleona.
Breaking out or breaking in, either way, there's no way to win. There's no way to facilitate our own idea of escape, so we climb. We'll end up in the other time. Somewhere there's a path to see. Waking up from the apathy, we take on the fight. Watch the fuse ignite. When you know it's right, you hesitate to stop the hate tonight. Here we are to take a stand, together marching hand in hand. Raise them up across the land, till we turn the stone in the sand and we'll fly. Feathers up into the sky, find a way to make it last. Soaring high beyond the past, we take on the fight. Watch the fuse ignite. When you know it's right, time to elevate a brand new paradigm. Till we're all on the same side, with arms open wide, the polarity of humanity has died. We take on the fight. Watch the fuse ignite. When you know it's right, you hesitate to stop the hate now. We take on the fight. Watch the fuse ignite. We won't be polite, time to elevate a brand new paradigm.
Jason Lyles is our guest. I guess it's at this point it's a commonplace to say that we've all been impacted by the virus. But truth is, it's in some ways as individual as anything else in life. And in Jason's case, you've been doubly impacted. You're teaching middle school? Is that what you
high
teach?
School.
Oh, you teach high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, is a case all by itself.
Exactly.
how to cope with students on from so many different points of view, from protecting yourself, protecting them, helping them cope with the stress of all this, which must be really difficult for them, I would think.
It is. And, you know, there's been a lot of stress, and you can tell that the population of kids at the school, you can tell that they feel different. You know, just the mood is different in the school than it has been in years past. And of course, the school population is kind of a microcosm of the population at large. And so you have all kinds of different viewpoints about this. You know, some people are very stressed out about it. And some people who think they don't really need to wear a mask or anything. It's just, you know, it just runs the gamut.
Well, I guess they tend to reflect their parents' view of things in a lot of cases, right?
Probably for the most part, yeah.
So there's that part of your life.
There is that part.
And more than one friend of mine who is a creative in one way or another has talked about this being the way to cope with it, to make music or to paint or whatever creative endeavor they're engaged in. Is that true for you? Is it therapeutic for you to make music after a day spent with freaked out high school kids?
Yeah, it is. It's fun to, of course, to create and to express yourself through music. And, you know, there's actually one of the songs on the album I wrote during this pandemic, and it helped me deal with something I was going through. And it's also great to just perform music. You know, performing music is such an outlet. So when I go and I entertain a crowd instead of try to make sure that they learn something, it is much more stress-free and enjoyable an experience after teaching. I have a system. I mean, I have a songbook in front of me that has a list of all my songs, and it's basically just to help me remember what all songs I know. But then I have a lot of the songs organized by decade and that kind of thing. And so I look around at the ages of the people in there, and I do about 5 or 6 kind of test songs that are a variety of different...
To see what you're getting a response to.
Yeah, see what I get a response to. And then, like, if I play, say, like, a 1980s song and everybody's into it, well, I'm just going to go into the next 1980s song and keep it going, you know? Of course, I work in all my originals.
So you must have quite a catalog of covers then.
I do. I've got a lot of stuff in my book.
How many songs do you know?
How many?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know.
How do you remember them all?
Well, I don't know. I just do. Some of them I've been playing a long time, and some of them I have my cheat sheet in front of me that I have varying degrees of how much I need it. Sometimes it's there for a safety net, and sometimes if it's something I don't play a lot, I just kind of have to read off of it a little bit. But, you know, sometimes if somebody wants something and it's a song that I'm halfway familiar with, I'll pull it up on my phone and try to do something for them. Especially if they have money in their hand, I'll work something out.
Give us a cover. What are your favorite covers to play? Do you have art acts that you tend to gravitate toward?
Well, you know, I play a lot of stuff that I was influenced by growing up. A lot of stuff from the 90s, sort of acoustic-y pop and alternative type stuff. And, you know, some of the stuff that I listened to in the 80s when I was real little. My mom had a huge vinyl collection, and she still does. She's still got it somewhere. And, you know, 12-inch and 45s, and we would listen to that stuff together. We had a big record player in the living room, and she would put the speakers and turn them around in the windows, and so they'd go out the windows to the front porch, and in the front porch we had a swing, and so we would sit there and swing together and listen to all these vinyl records when I was a kid. And I think that's pretty much what got me into pop music and performing it.
You didn't need a radio.
No, I didn't. This is probably one of my favorite covers that I've been doing probably for a long time. It's by a band called Tonic from the 90s. The singer and the writer, Emerson Hart, he lives in Franklin, Tennessee now, but he's a great writer. But this song is called If You Could Only See.
If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe you would understand why I feel this way about her love, what I must do. You could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says she loves me. We got your reasons and you got your lies, and you got your manipulations coming down to size. Say you love the cute and give me love too. If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love, what I must do. You could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says she loves me. See the road let us travel, happiness unravel. And you got to take a little look to keep on to love. It's what you're gonna do now. Say love, give me love too. Stretching out your arms, something's just not there. Say love, will you stand? Give me high when you can. If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe you'd understand why I'm feeling this way about what I love, what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me.
Jason Lyles is our guest this afternoon. He has a new album that has just been released. Listening to you cover that song, it struck me that you're as much attracted to the voice as you are to the instruments in mm-hmm. the band. Is that true?
Yeah, I was a singer long before I was a guitar player.
While you were singing that, I had the sense that you were channeling the singer. Channeling's phrasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, of course, when I listened to stuff as a kid with my mom, I didn't have a guitar. I didn't have access to a guitar. We had an old piano from the early 1900s that was mostly out of tune all the time. But and I played with that a little bit. But you know, mostly I would sing and imitate styles and of stuff that I liked. And you know,
so from early on, you figured that's something you wanted to do. You weren't just a listener. You wanted to be somebody who actually made the music.
Right. I did. And then when I got into, I guess, high school, and there was a choral arts program available, and, you know, I learned to sing different techniques. I learned to sing, you know, to be classically trained as a singer and sing, you know, as a tenor part in a choir and to sing as a solo and in a small quartets and ensembles. And so that just kind of like, you know, in the same way that, like, you know, a guitar player can play electric or acoustic or something like that, I felt like that was like another tool in my tool belt, you know, to really express myself through music. And of course, you know, one of my favorite things to do when I record now is the overdub background vocals. It's so fun to just like be, you know, make your own choir of music. It's fun.
On Scenic Roots, this is Talking Writing. Our guest is Jason Lyles. Jason has a new album called Chameleona. From it, this is Nothing Left For Me. So you enjoyed the process of making this record? For some people, you know, being in a studio and trying to capture the sound that they hear in their head or the sound that they can make when they're on stage in front of an audience is a bit of a challenge? And
yeah, well, this was... it's interesting because the way this album comes out, it came about, I started recording it in January. And the original plan, of
good
course,
timing.
the original plan, of course, was to release it in May and then, you know, do a summer tour and go.
Oh, sorry, Jason, that's so smart to do it that way. You were off from school by May,
and that's the way you had
the whole summer.
That's the way I did it last year. You know, put out my last album last spring, and then I traveled around. You know, during the summer, went to North Carolina, spent a lot of time there, a little bit in South Carolina. Went to California for a couple of nights and did some stuff out there. And it was great, you know. And part of writing this new album was when I was out there on the road and you know, traveling through the North Carolina mountains and stuff. And that's when things would come to me and I'd record something on my phone. And then when it got time, you know, when 2020 came around, I was ready to record. And I just happened to run into William Bowers, who recorded us last summer.
He was the engineer.
He was the engineer for our Live in the Library, and he is big into producing now. And so I asked him to produce this record with me. And so he did a lot of the sound design and electronic beats and things for this album. And he is the studio manager at Breaker 17 Studio. And so that's where we did this album. It was a great process working with him because we got started, and he's so good at like listening to me describe some kind of thing that I want and not being able to like manifest the sound. And he says, oh, I know what you want. And so he'll pull up something on a Spotify playlist and say it's similar to this. And then he'll start working in Ableton and make it. And so he's really good at like pulling my ideas out and making them a reality. And it's really great.
How did you communicate those ideas? Did you sing them to him?
Well, for a lot of them, it was more of a mood or a vibe, or with the beats, I wanted to like have a certain sound for a kick or a snare hit or something like that that was different. And I would give him some rhythms and he would put them in there. It was a really cool creative process. And then once the pandemic started, we did a few sessions over, I forget what the name of it is, but it was kind of like Zoom, but it's something that gamers use, some kind of like thing that people use for gaming.
So were you able to see each other as well as hear each other?
We didn't see each other. We heard each other, and we saw what was going on Ableton in the computer program. And so I could see him changing things on the screen and then playing it back for me, and I could hear it in my headphones. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. So it was cool. You know, we did part of it remotely. It was so weird. And then, of course, you know, I guess it was around in May or June, they started lifting some of the restrictions. And so they opened the studio back up. And then during the summer, we finished up everything else. And
well, let's listen to something from the record. What would you like to for me to play? Tell us something about it in terms of what you've just been talking about, the whole process of making it.
Well, we'll play Expand. That's a good one because all the beats in that are from Will and the sound design is from Will. And for this album, I really wanted to, this was kind of an Anything Goes album. You know, my last album, I had kind of a format of acoustic music I wanted to do, but this one I wanted to be whatever. And so wherever creatively we went, that's where we went. And so Expand is one that really demonstrates that. It's got the electronic beats. It's all still based around acoustic guitar, you know, this, that little riff right there. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like this acoustic, hippie, 60s vibe. And then the beats come in with this weird sound design, and all of a sudden you're like in the year 3000. So it's like it's a combination of like, you know, organic hippie versus futuristic stuff. So it's kind of freaky. And I got to do some choir parts on it too. And it was just a really enjoyable experience.
This is our guest, Jason Lyles.
Chains and we're milking honeybees.
This is Talking Writing. Our guest is singer and songwriter Jason Lyles. His new album, just released, is called Chameleona. He has a number of gigs upcoming, including a performance at Yellow Racket Records to celebrate the release of the album on vinyl. His first gig is this Saturday, November 14th, on Saturday afternoon from 1 until 4 at Charlie's Barbecue and Bakery on East Main Street. The following Saturday, November 21st, he'll be playing in the Gate 11 Distillery at the Choo Choo, starting at 7:30. On Saturday, December 5th, he'll be in Yellow Racket Records all afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, to celebrate the release of the album on vinyl, and then later that day, he'll be in Wanderlinga Brewery for a show starting at 8:30. From the new album, this is a song called 23. Scenic Roots, Jason Lyles from his new album just released called Chameleona, that song called 23. Details on upcoming gigs, and you can also find the album on his website, Jason Lyles Music, LYLES, jasonlylesmusic.com. This is Scenic Roots.